Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
When we're on breaks, I'm always doing silly voices about things because I wanted to, but I'm excited about this segment.
I am too.
This is the first annual Foreman and Wolf Fish Off.
Fish Off, yes. It's fishy. It's going to be very fishy.
I bet it will be.
Will
you be deflating footballs or anything? Are you going to cheat?
No, I've decided that every other one of mine is going to be hard easy. So just get ready. Okay, Foreman, let's go. Let's do it.
Okay.
First one is eel. We're starting now.
Eel?
Yeah.
Do I get to kill it?
Yes, well, but we already talked about it, so we don't have to go back over the horror show.
Because I'm
killing
happy
the
to
eel.
Go over
no, don't
and
go
peeling
over.
The skin yeah. from the.
All right, well, you can start at peeling the skin.
No, well, the question with eel is always when you cook it, do you want to cook it on the spine? Are you going to try to take it off the spine?
Mm-hmm.
I'd always rather have it on the spine. My favorite way I've ever had it is what I always would want to replicate.
I wonder if you're going to say what I'm thinking. Go ahead.
This is you were not at the table for this.
Of course.
Sorry. but what I would totally replicate and did try to do one time, and I think we did a decent job years ago. It's cooking eel on a wood fire.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And you marinate it for probably 45 minutes or an hour ahead of time with a lot of bay and plenty of sea salt and a little bit of vinegar, like red wine vinegar.
Okay, all right.
You rub it down really good, almost like with a slurry of that. And then before you cook it, you remove it. But you leave that rub down for a while so it soaks in well.
Sure.
And you do the procedure as you described in your violent reading of the LaRousse eel treatement beforehand.
Violent reading. So this is skin off.
This is skin off. This is on the bone, relatively hot grill.
Yeah, of course.
A hot wood grill if you can do it.
Yep.
And it's the whole fish. You know, it's the whole eel.
Okay.
And you roll it, and you kind of have to turn. It's almost like six little turns to get it to the whole thing to mark.
You want it to cook evenly.
Properly.
Yeah.
And you need a hotter side and a cooler side of the grill because you want to start it on the hotter side and get that caramelization, which is awesome. And also, but get that spine, get the bone steaming on the inside early, mm-hmm. and then slow cook it a little bit. Like once you turned it on and marked all the sides, it's a round fish.
Right.
Once you've marked everything, then get it on the cooler area. And the sauce you've made ahead of time, this is a summertime thing, you need really pretty San Marzanos or some kind of beautifully fruity tomato.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of lemon peel from exceptional lemons, like if you had access to those beautiful lemons that they have in Campania or, you know,
those are amazing.
Or Murcia or something, you need really beautiful lemons because you need the peel and the juice. And you need very good olive oil and a lot of whatever fresh herb of your choice. For me, it's always mint and basil together for this.
Mm-hmm.
And you need no big surprise. No big surprise. Maybe one Calabrian chili.
Yeah.
Steeped in that sauce.
That's your secret ingredient.
And you literally will just cut once the eel is off the grill, and you cook it medium well, so it'll come off the bone. But
you want it to be tender.
Right.
And you can. Yeah, I can imagine medium rare eel is not working.
Which rarely do we say about fish. It's almost kind of like pork in that you have to kind of like you get. There's a sweet spot that's a little. It's not done, but it's close.
Right,
and it rests till it's almost done, but it's still moist inside. And then you cut segments, and it's almost like a submarine sandwich or something. You cut a segment of the fish, and then put that on the diner's plate, and you give them the sauce. And you literally, if that's cooled enough, it gets down to where you can touch it. You can peel the meat right off the bone,
mm-hmm.
and you dunk the meat from the eel into the cold sauce. Or you set up a bruschetta, like you grill toast as well.
Yeah, that would be fun.
And then you lay the hot eel and the cool sauce on there. It makes a heck of a snack.
Well, you know, eel is one of the traditional ingredients in bouillabaisse. So, you know, I think that's another way of thinking. I mean, a lot of people have good reference on what bouillabaisse is. And it is a fish stew traditionally made by fishermen, right, for many hundreds of years. So, you know, you think of eel as being a pretty essential ingredient in that dish. And also, we were somewhere in France.
It has good flavor. It's like a base note for fish.
Yeah. We were in France and had eel poached in red wine. And that was remarkable. That was really, really beautiful, that dish. So, and that was on the bone. And you just, you know, the meat just gently came off of the bone while you're eating it. It was really, really good. But the seeing it push in red wine was not the most beautiful thing in the world, but the flavors were fantastic. So that's all that matters.
It's a big, gutsy, flavorful fish.
Yeah. All right. One more. So after eel, you get skate.
Skate.
Mm-hmm.
Skate. Of all the fish in the world, I will admit that it is not my all-time favorite.
Okay, well then skip it.
No.
Well, I mean, if you don't like it,
See, the thing is that everyone...
It can be difficult to deal with.
It's not my very favorite because I think everyone's preparation of skate wing ends up being really similar, which is always, you know, seared hard in a pan.
Yeah.
And then, you know, brown butter or something like that.
And that's a good preparation. And there's nothing wrong with that prep.
I've always wanted to have cornmeal fried skate.
Well, that's one of the recipes I was just looking at. Not cornmeal fried, but fried. Yeah, but I think that's a great way to deal with it.
Literally, you know, like almost like you would cut fish sticks.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for that kind of thing. It's some kind of ridiculous remoulade sauce or something.
Yeah, I think that's a good.
I don't
way
know
to deal
why I want to like deal with skate. Maybe it's because it's close to Fat Tuesday or something. But I want to deal with it like you would in New Orleans. You know, where you like remoulade sauce and you cornmeal it up and.
I have to say, I love fried fish so. And whether it's in a cornmeal batter or just flour, you know, straight breading procedure, or, you know, marinated in buttermilk like we do with in the cornmeal breading procedure.
Good
or
cold,
beignets.
Good cold beer for that with lunch, very happy about.
I love a light beignet. Not, you know,
you're
talking about New Orleans.
You're going to skip past that beer comment, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's fine. Beer's good. You know, it's... I think in the traditional beignet batter, if you have been in New Orleans, it's very doughy. And when I say a beignet batter for fish, I mean something that's very light, that has a lot of baking powder, baking soda in it, and, you know, really is light, almost like a tempura batter instead of going towards the doughy aspect of being a... All right, so your next fish is red snapper.
Red snapper.
Do you like the way I said that?
Yeah, you said it in a very snappy fashion.
No, red snapper is a beautiful fish.
No shocker there. It's
and not so hard to get around.
No,
this coast.
And snappers are nice to
southern fish.
Is nice and easy to take a fillet from too.
Mm-hmm.
And is a nice fish to cook in a pan. And that's funny. That's one I would do without the skin in the pan.
Mm-hmm.
I would actually cook it in clarified butter in the pan.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty lean fish, and it likes that. Sort of a treatment, and I think I'd be pretty old fashioned about it, and do a cream sauce, a cream sauce or hollandaise of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe hollandaise with capers, or hollandaise with a little bit of tomato product, or something in it, like sauce chiron.
Sounds good. One of the things about working with red snapper is it really buckles up when you cook it. So if you are going to leave the skin on, you're going to have to score it, or you're going to have to absolutely hold it down when you're searing it, because it is a big buckler. It will go into a big U shape if you're not careful cooking it with the skin on.
I ruined some red snapper in a serious way.
Red snapper's not. Yeah, it's a great fish though. Sweet, mild.
Was being taught by a man named Tom Turner at the Franklin Inn Club in Philly. He's like, go to the market, and this guy Bob says he's got fresh red snappers, and bring them. We're going to put them on the tasting menu for lunch, and brought them. They were nice fish. Cut like nice fillets from them. Laid them out. You know, he told me what size he'd wanted things for the menu, and we got the first order. And I just literally looked like boomerangs or something that I.
Oh, that's the problem. They really, literally, they won't
standing
buckle
up in the pan.
Into a U shape if you're not careful. That's you got to watch red snapper.
It's like, yeah, I got. Thank you, Tom, for my red snapper lesson.
There you go.
And not hitting me in the head.
I will say with snapper, I really like to gently cook it. I prefer to remove the skin, and I'd love to just poach it in the pan with butter, shallot, finely chopped shallot, a little bit of white wine, a little bit of salt, maybe a little bay leaf in there, a little bit of fresh thyme, or you know, a very aromatic herb. But I really
so
like to poach it.
So you're not going for any real color, just a pan
no
poach.
Color, zero. Just gently cooked. It's called shallow poaching. Shallow poach in the kitchen is. You know, about halfway up the side of the fish. Real poaching is immersed in liquid. So shallow poach is perfect for something like a piece of snapper that's, you know, you're making, maybe you have a 6 ounce fillet.
What do you do with it sauce-wise?
Oh, and then that's the beautiful thing, is that you have just created a pan sauce, so you just simply reduce that down. You know, pull your fillets out a little bit before they're done, pop them in the oven just to keep them warm in a baking dish, and just for, I'm talking about a minute or two, and you're going to reduce that pan sauce and finish. This is where fresh chervil comes in beautifully at the last moment. You could add capers to the pan. You could finish with a little bit more lemon. You could add cold butter to the pan to thicken the sauce. Once you bring that sauce down to where it's just barely covering the bottom of the pan, it's ready for a little cold butter. It's called monter au beurre in French, and it means to lift, literally to lift with butter. And that's what cold butter, like just little squares of cold butter added.
That's like
the last
that's like the title of your theme song.
Oh. Yeah, so that's a good deal, a good way to deal with Red Snapper. All right, how about shad? Here's another. I told you that some were going to be nice, some were going to be not nice. but this is an area that likes shad, so that's why.
Is this shad ill-tempered?
No, shad is just difficult. Shad has a whole bunch of bones. Shad is an oddly,
If you want to make Chesapeake bouillabaisse, really good bouillabaisse or fish stew,
yeah,
that's exactly what you want.
Right.
I mean, that's... To me, I would love to make a real fisherman soup with clams out of the bay, shad out of the bay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that to me sounds like a good time.
Yeah. Okay.
Green tomato, peppers.
Yeah.
Potatoes.
Yep.
Celery.
And that's the fish, not the roe.
Look at me doing all the casual fish dishes.
Yeah, look at you. Yeah. And then how about here's a nice one, our local rockfish. What would you do to rockfish?
What's the size of the rockfish? I think that's the biggest question.
Well, that's
right?
Up to you. It could be a whole fish. It can be a fillet.
It's probably up to the fisherman, I think.
Portion.
Maybe the rockfish is mom and dad.
All right. So you're buying it. You're
so
in
I'm
charge.
Buying it. So I mean, that's if it's.
Well, let's say it's a whole fish. Let's deal with it as a whole fish.
If it's a whole fish and it's pretty decent size, let's say you can cut four nice fillets from it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what is that? Three and a half pounds, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good size fish. The with the skin. Searing in the pan. I think doing something, it's winter time, so I want something for red wine, honestly. That's that's immediately my driver is not just which fish is beautiful, but also, well, how do I feel about what's going outside? What do I want on the rest of the menu?
And of course.
And maybe it's cold, maybe it's soup first, and maybe it's the rockfish second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if it's for a light and pretty red wine or something, so the rock... I think some kind of a mushroom broth. Maybe if there were porcinis in season, but they're not. Maybe trumpets, maybe and literally make almost like a nage with a chicken jus and finish with a little bit of butter and the trumpets that you roasted for a long, long time first, and some sweet shallots, and you have that nage, and you have the fish you seared in the pan, and maybe make a little bit of lemon salt with the peel from the lemon, and dust that on the top of the crispy skin on the rockfish and place that on the sort of almost sauce but brothy mushroom business underneath that fish, and then do some kind of a starch or something as like a heartier side dish.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of cauliflower gratin or something like that.
Sounds good. So. Yeah, I make a sauce from dried porcinis in the wintertime when we can't get them fresh, and you have to be careful with porcini mushrooms because they do grow in sandy soil in the woods, and there's all kinds of things in there with them. So when you do go to, if you want to make a powder from them, you could, they're already dry. All you have to do is pop them in the blender and just really, really, really blend them. And then I would still pass it through a sieve just to make sure that you don't have any large pieces left or
any twigs
or anything funny. But
pieces of a hedgehog or something.
I also make a sauce from dried porcinis where I saute onions and shallots and butter and then add the porcini mushrooms. And I usually add Madeira to the pot as well as cream and a little bit of light chicken stock. And it's not something that has to cook a very long time. It can cook about 20 minutes to really get good flavor from those dried porcinis, and then strain it, and that could be a very pretty sauce for fish. I also do that with beef, but if the lighter it is, you could add a little white wine, or if as in your dish you're going to have a red wine with it, you might want to add a little bit of red wine to that sauce when you're making it instead of the Madeira.
Yeah, it sounds like you're thinking something robust as well as it. Right. The thing about rockfish is it's a white fish, but it has a pretty robust flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really unlike those Mediterranean fish, Bronzino or
right.
Or Dorade to work with. And
yeah.
So it's nice to have, you can be very seasonal with your garnishes, and you don't have to be shy with your garnishes.
Yeah, rockfish is amazing. Okay.
And so.
It's my turn.
One on my list, mm-hmm. Sardines.
Oh, good, because I love sardines.
You know I can't eat anchovies, but I love sardines.
Oh, yeah,
and it's hard to get nice sardines.
Okay.
So quick, 30 seconds on sardines.
Oh, well, you slit the skins, gut them, pull their gills out, and just...
So sexy.
Yeah. And then grill them, and hopefully over a wood grill. But if you don't have a wood grill, that's okay. And, oh my gosh, sardines have so much wonderful oily flavor. I love them with fresh basil on the... This is a summertime dish. Fresh basil on the plate, fresh tomato, maybe tomato carpaccio, thinly sliced tomato laid out all over the plate with a really good, beautiful, bright extra virgin olive oil, a little bit of fleur de sel, a little bit of freshly cracked black pepper, the basil we talked about. You could scatter tiny capers on that plate, and of course Niçoise olives, either whole with the pits removed.
Tapenade is what you want. You want some kind of chickpea salad with peppers and lemon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's roasted garlic. Yeah, I love sardines. They're full of flavor though, so you have to really.
We are so out of time.
Okay.
And I'm so hungry to eat fish.
That was fun.
Thanks so much for listening to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.